Thanks so much for listening to this clip of Reception Perception. New episodes release Tuesdays and Thursdays.
This is Reception Perception, the show. James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Matt, can we start with this Hopkins trade to Kansas City? I honestly could not be happier for everyone involved other than Tennessee, but who cares about Tennessee? I'm happy for Nuke. For ring chasing, all good, man. I'm so happy for him, bro. And I'm happy for the league, and I'm happy for myself because Kansas City finally got an outside X receiver.
I was going to say, yeah, as two big-time X receiver bros, me and you, I mean, mm-hmm. this has got to be – this is the first time I think the Chiefs in the Patrick Mahomes era have, like, had a legitimate X receiver. I mean, Sammy Watkins maybe.
Oh, what do you consider Tyreek Hill?
Well, he moved around so much. He never like
he was a 50-50 guy.
He was like a 50-50 guy, and they usually played him off ball anyway. So mm-hmm. I would not consider him an X receiver. So yeah, I was like, this is really the first time. I mean, just to put it into perspective, their X receiver this year is Justin Watson. According to Fantasy Points data, he has run the third most routes on the team, 114. James, he's run 114 routes. Like I said, third most on the team. How many targets do you think Justin Watson has this year?
I am going to say 10.
Eight. You overshot it by.
Oh my God. Eight.
He's been targeted on 7% of his routes.
Oh my God.
I mean, we joke about
that's
the sacrificial X receiver here around the reception perception parts. Justin Watson legitimately is the sacrificial X receiver.
Yes. Right.
Every now and again, take a shot, but for the most part, you're just clearing space out. So, yeah, I think Hopkins, I was able, because this trade happened so early.
Right.
I got three games in the bank charting beautiful. On DeAndre Hopkins this morning.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Can't say I was in a rush to do a lot of work on the Titans offense before this. So, I have some thoughts about the Titans we can loop real quick into the end of this. But
sure.
In terms of Hopkins, these three games I've got for him, which was Bills, Packers, Colts. So not in this order, but Week 4, Week 6, and Week 7. I wanted to give it a little space into the season because he was coming off a knee injury that I think, I've seen some people speculate that it might dog him for a while. It might still be dogging him, but I wanted to at least get deeper into the season when he's at least playing a little bit more here. 81.9% snaps on the line of scrimmage. He's only been on the slot or the backfield on just over 14% of his sample snaps in these three games. So he is still playing X receiver. I kind of like a few of the things they did with him from an X receiver standpoint where he's not, if you just think about formations and like the whole length of the field, he would be the farthest outside X, like on the line of scrimmage receiver. He'd be the one receiver in like a 1x3 or 1x3 set usually. But he's pretty close to the line of scrimmage. So a little bit more of a condensed formation. And the reason I like this is because he could use that space on that side of the field to create leverage. Especially on like slant routes in particular. I've got him in these three games at an 80% success rate on slant routes, which is pretty good.
Oh, let's go.
And I just think that's going to be so critical for this offense because they don't really have somebody that can just get a first down, that can like it's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 5. Pat Mahomes needs somebody he can rely on. Okay, we've got Hopkins as that condensed X receiver on the backside. We're dropping back and Hopkins is in the frame and we're hitting him on those plays because he's not explosive off the line of scrimmage at this point, DeAndre Hopkins, but he is pretty crafty. So he can sell that outside, vertical route and then bring it back to the inside pretty quickly for that successful slant route being DeAndre Hopkins there. But overall, sub 60% success rate versus man. I mean, let's talk about the bad parts here. Yeah, he's not separating at all downfield at this point.
Interesting.
And I know Hopkins has always been billed as like he's not a separation player. I don't know how other places chart open or whatever. Uh-huh. I'm not looking for like gobs of separation here. You're either open or you're not. Like I've always thought that Hopkins was a good separation player and a good route runner and a guy that got himself open for quarterbacks. Like that 59.3% that he's at in these three games, that's like forget like far cry from his peak. That's a far cry from even his like final year in Arizona. So I think but he's still pretty good against zone. And he's still like a little bit above average getting off the line of scrimmage against press coverage, mostly on those shorter routes. So, yeah, anything down the field, nine route, post routes, forget it. And they had him running a lot of nine routes in Tennessee, too. 22% of his charter routes were nine routes, sub 50% success rate there. So not a good result. But curl routes, slant routes, some of those routes closer to the line of scrimmage, he can run those pretty well. Out routes, he's still got some pretty good timing on those as well. So what I would say is, if like you wanted kind of the tagline, the summary of where is DeAndre Hopkins at this point, I don't think he is a star player anymore. I think that's pretty obvious. It would be kind of hard to expect him to be. The guy was drafted in, what, 2013? It'd be kind of hard to say he's a star player at this point. But he is certainly a useful player and gives the Chiefs a dimension that they did not have, both as an individual ex-receiver and someone that can help them unlock the role catering that I think needs to happen for all of the other main pass catchers on the roster.
When you're breaking down his film, can we talk a little bit about effort? And listen, the thing with Nuke Hopkins, and one of the reasons why he's one of my favorite players of all time, is that regardless of his quarterback situation, it really did seem like he's going out there and he's looking to win. Like, he wants to win his individual reps pretty much every single time I watch this guy play, right? That being said, it's a in Tennessee, Matt, it was not great. The vibes in Tennessee were not good. They were not good at all. What were you kind of sort of seeing from, you know, a determination level there from Nuke Hopkins?
I was pretty impressed with what he did in the run game. I thought he blocked really well, gave a lot of effort there. I think if this was a guy that was packing it in, and you know, I've met Nuke Hopkins a couple times. I've always really liked talking with him. He's a super thoughtful guy, both in terms of how he views the world, some of the causes that he's passionate about, and also just the game of football. He is an intelligent wide receiver, you know, right. And I think that still shows up in the reception perception. Like I said, that about just a little under 80% success rate versus zone in these three games. Just a very intelligent guy, knows where to sit, especially on some even like dig routes and things like that over the middle of the field. Super, like I said, just heady wide receiver overall. I don't know that I'd see any like lack of effort for him. And he talked a lot, like, I'm pretty content with my life, like, in Tennessee and being in Nashville. Like, I think he enjoyed playing with the quarterbacks in Tennessee? No, I would probably not venture that, you know.
Right.
I don't think that was great, but I think he did like enjoy Nashville and enjoy kind of the community there. So I don't really know that I saw any like lack of effort from him, but I'm sure he'll be more dialed in with whatever's going on in Kansas City than in Tennessee.
That's kind of what I'm looking forward to. I think there's two factors here at play. One, again, not by his own making, but yeah, he's ring chasing here, which is great. He's 32 years old,
totally,
and he absolutely deserves a chance to play in the postseason again and make some noise, man. Like, listen, the NFL is better when Nuke Hopkins is in the postseason, period. Yeah. The NFL is better when Kansas City is good, period. You know, when Mahomes is playing well and he's throwing, lighting it up, the league is better. I don't care where you – I mean, again, it doesn't matter where you stand on the whole Mahomes thing. You could hate Mahomes, but now he's a better villain, right? No. Oh, he needs help. He's a better villain now, right? Or if you like Mahomes and you think he's a great quarterback, arguably the best to ever do it, cool. Now we've given him weapons to be able to, you know, exploit some of his talents, which is awesome. Anyways, this is a great trade from just a total like NFL overview standpoint. I'm happy for Nuke Hopkins. I'm happy for Patrick Mahomes. I'm happy for Andy Reid. But yeah, Nuke, I think going into this situation, is going to be hyper motivated. He's going to find a new lease on life. And what I really love is that he's not going into a situation like Devontae's going into New York, right? Where again, it's an old static offense. No, he's got a legitimate talent elevator in Patrick Mahomes, who will bring out the best in him. And he's also got a head coach in Andy Reid, who you got to be thinking, his brain is probably working overtime right now, trying to draw up some plays, trying to figure out ways to go get Nuke Hopkins involved here in week number 8. The guy's going to have about 48 hours to go look at one of the most complex playbooks in the NFL, but it's all good. You talk about him being an intelligent player. Again, that's something that fits in perfectly with this Kansas City culture. I love it. I love it. I love all that. I think it's going to be great. And to me, what I've seen online too is that people are worried that this guy's, you know, he's prepackaged lettuce. He's triple washed, Ryan, I just don't see that, man. You know, yeah. And again, I'm also seeing a guy that I think is going to come out and just play gangbusters because, man, it's just going to be new. It's going to be exciting. I mean, he's going to be in a lot of island games. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. So I'm really looking forward to it. All right, what does this mean, though, for the overall health of the Kansas City offense? Because I'll tell you what, after week one, Xavier Worthy, it was the league was saying, oh, I can't believe the league let Kansas City get away with this. I can't believe they let Kansas City go get Xavier Worthy. After week seven, the entire discourse has changed to the Kansas City Chiefs don't have any receivers. When you say they don't have any receivers, you are including Xavier Worthy in that group as well. So it is interesting how the discourse has changed quite a bit. But can you talk about how Nuke could potentially unlock Xavier Worthy, unlock Travis Kelce, unlock some of the passing options there in Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, this has sort of been my issue with the Chiefs receivers, even when it was going to be Marquise Brown, it was going to be Rashee Rice, and it was going to be Xavier Worthy, and that was going to be the top three guys. And let's loop Travis Kelce in there. I think at this point of their respective careers of all four of those guys, they all need some degree of role catering. Mm-hmm. Some of them more than others. I think of the four that I just talked about there, you know, and again, Marquise Brown and Rashee Rice are on IR. Neither of them, one of them is, Brown might come back. There's a chance Brown could come back if they make a Super Bowl run, which, by the way, it is hilarious that the conditions you mentioned, Devontae Adams, like, you know, it's like, oh, this will go from what, a third to a second if the Jets mm-hmm. win the Super Bowl, and everybody's like, okay, well, then they're not getting a... They're not getting a second. Right. And then this condition from the Titans to the Chiefs is this will become a fourth rounder, not a fifth rounder, if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl. And it's like, shit, Tennessee's probably going to fourth rounder out of this one. I thought that was funny. That like immediate reaction there to that. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, I feel really differently about those conditions that we're tying it to the Super Bowl with the team that's not even not just win the Super Bowl, just be in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Interesting stuff. But anyways... He also has to play 60% of the snaps. I should note that, too. But what the hell is talking about here? I think the one of the four guys there that probably doesn't need the most role catering is Marquise Brown, just because we've seen him play like outside receiver and not be great. But like he's probably best deployed as a flanker off the line, but he can at least do that stuff. We know Rashee Rice, and you could put Juju in this bucket, too. Now, even I know he's going to miss this coming game, but he's also a guy that needs role catering, needs to be in the slot, needs to be off the line of scrimmage, needs to do that power slot type of stuff. Rashee Rice needed that. I think Travis Kelce at this point needs that role catering too. You can't just really ask him to go do that ISO stuff that he used to do, be the isolated X receiver. He can't really do that anymore. You kind of need to put him off the line. You need to put him in motion, the whole things. And yeah, Xavier Worthy, we talked about it on the last podcast that came out earlier this week. I mean, dude, he's not ready. I don't know if he ever will be ready because he's, you know, as small as he is to be a real deal big boy wide receiver. Like you put our buddy Derek Klassen put this really well on Twitter, like summed up kind of all my thoughts that I said on the show earlier. You put your hands on Xavier Worthy, plays over. Like it's over. And that's just really tough for a guy that you're expecting to be an every down wide receiver. And I want to be fair to Xavier Worthy because I don't think they drafted him to be this guy. They didn't think like, oh, he's going to be our number one receiver or anything. They thought he'd be like an ancillary piece to the passing game. He needs to be an ancillary piece to the pass game. Mm-hmm. And I think with Hopkins now, Hopkins not necessarily, I don't think he's going to be like a 10 target per game player, but being that on the line player, it's going to allow Worthy to move around a little bit. And I think that they can do some stuff where like Hopkins ends up as the slot receiver. Yeah. I don't think he's going to play slot for this team full time. He can't do. I've seen people throw about like, oh, aging receiver. Why don't we throw him in the Rashee Rice role? I want you to go ahead and compile Nuke Hopkins' after catch highlights this season. It won't take you long. Let's just put it that way. He gives you nothing in that department. But there can be times when he's that on the line player and they motion Worthy out and create some mismatches that way, create some leverage for both players. So I think those guys will work well off of each other because they need that. That's who Worthy has to be right now. He's not built to be a real deal every down wide receiver at this point. Certainly not somebody that you're feeding like eight targets a game.
Yeah, you talk about those press coverage numbers. This per Next Gen Stats, he's been pressed on 27 routes this year. Of those 27 routes, Matt, he has earned a target on just three of those routes. So he's been targeted on press coverage just three times. And what does that tell you? That just tells you, again, this is Patrick Mahomes that we're talking about here. Listen, if you're open on press cover, he's going to find you, right? Mm-hmm. If you've got that 4.22 speed or whatever it is, somebody presses you at the line, you could shake free even a little. Trust, Patrick Mahomes is going to find you. He's probably looking for you, quite honestly.
Yeah, honestly.
So again, three targets on those 27 routes. That's not good enough. Not only that, of those three targets, Matt, zero receptions and one interception on those three targets in press coverage. At that point, when we're talking about, again, 27 press attempts, at what point does the quarterback say, man, I cannot look over here?
Yeah.
If you're Patrick Mahomes and you've thrown zero completions and one interception on 27 press attempts, at some point you gotta say, hey, listen, I'm looking at press coverage over at Xavier Worthy. I just can't throw that way. There's just no way.
Yeah, and I mean, this is another way that the Hopkins addition can help, because
exactly,
like I said, Hopkins is not getting open on nine routes anymore, but his touchdown against the Packers this year was just on a go route, sideline ball, quarterback puts it up and he just goes and wins it in a tight coverage contested situation.
Right.
Again, do you chart that as open? Whatever. Because he makes the play. He can still make those plays even if he's not, quote, open. He's still that guy. He's always been that guy, right?
Yeah.
That's one been of the best DeAndre Hopkins' calling. Yeah, contested catch maven. Mm-hmm. And he still kind of has those chops to him. So teams will still have to respect Nuke Hopkins in that way. So if you've got a situation where Hopkins is your X and you have Worthy in the slot here, you're probably not pressing Worthy. As a matter of fact, you're going to probably get more of those opportunities every game where he's running the deep post route and splitting
Correct.
The safeties, just like Mahomes missed him on that wide open post route against zone coverage. That's where Worthy wins. I mean, even like I said, the charting data that we discussed in the last episode, his success rate versus zone it's not great, but it's, you know, right up near the average, right? And then his post route success rate, he's been open on almost every post route I've charted for him this year. So like more of those plays now that you have Hopkins in man coverage situations, or like he's in man or it's a man match situation on the outside and it's zone over the middle of the field, he's going to take the corner, probably take the safety over that way, and that gives you more opportunities with Worthy. So yeah, it not only does I think it add to that X receiver spot, it also allows him to get Xavier Worthy open in those ways too.
To your point, Matt, I love this trade for so many reasons. I think it's a perfect fit. You got an intelligent player going to Kansas City midseason. Not every receiver can go to Kansas City and pick up an Andy Reid playbook and play well. It just doesn't happen. I think Nuke can make that happen. But the reason I love this trade from just a physical skill standpoint and from a skills match standpoint, again, they don't have a dude who can win a contested catch, period. Even Travis Kelce at this point in his career has not shown to be able to win in contested catch. They've got this guy now with Nuke Hopkins. And man, when it gets into crunch time and you need a first down, it's third and nine, third and 10, and you need to pick up that first down, who are you going to in Kansas City? There's not anybody right now, right? And I think Nuke fills that hole. All right, so if Nuke fills that hole of just eating up this like 10 to 15 yard area, which I think he will, then it allows Xavier Worthy to be off the line, give you some of these deep overs, get you a deep post route, maybe just a straight up nine from the slot. Great, beautiful, right? So now defenses are having to defend you a little bit deeper now, right? Because DeAndre Hopkins is eating you up in the middle, right? Xavier Worthy is giving you a credible threat over the top. Well, shoot, Matt, that's going to open it up for Travis Kelce too. Right, so that's what I'm looking at when I'm looking at Nuke Hopkins going to Kansas City. He literally unlocks this offense if everything goes right, and that's what I love.
Yeah, and not to mention too, just like all that space that's created, because it's funny, Pat Mahomes, obviously they don't have a threat down the field necessarily, not a consistent one on the outside, but teams still play, you know, too high like shell coverages yeah. against the Chiefs because it's still Patrick Mahomes. So there is going to be space over the middle for both Kelce and for DeAndre Hopkins to work in. So yeah, it may like, are, were there, I don't know. Were there bigger names available? Guys that are better players than Hopkins at this point? Sure, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Maybe not bigger names, but there are certainly better players available. But this one just, it makes sense. I think it just fits well with what they need. It allows them to do certain things. I really, really like the trade overall.
Yeah, despite the fact that Deontay Johnson was out there too, I just think this is a better fit. I really do. I think this is we got a veteran player looking for a ring, man. This is, I mean, just all of that stuff just makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. Contested catch ability too, man. You got to get these tough throws out there, bro. Like, Mahomes is going to be loving it. I think this is a perfect pairing, and I'm really, really excited about it. By the way, you talk about these two deep safeties, and Mahomes, who has this like gunslinger, I think reputation, which is, by the way, just not true, because he's so good at finding open players. He rarely forces the football. He actually has the fewest deep pass attempts in the NFL this year. He's got 9 pass attempts of over 20 air yards. It's last in the league by a wide margin. Second would be Jacoby Brissett. He hasn't played in a couple weeks. I mean, even Gardner Minshew has almost double the amount of deep pass attempts as Patrick Mahomes. So this is going to do some different things. They're going to be able to unlock parts of the playbook that they couldn't have touched before. And I'm really, if you guys can't tell, one of my favorite plays is going to KC. Let's ride, baby. I'm all in. I love it.